I hope you all found some time for some rest and some recreation this past week as we had a celebration of our Independence Day and some beautiful weather over the course of the last week or so. This has been a time, hopefully, for rest. And welcome here today as we continue in our rest in this Sabbath. We gather together with one another, resting here in the presence of God. Some of my favorite words in Scripture are the words that we hear at the end of this gospel reading today. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Every time I hear those words, it's sort of like this hug from Scripture that makes this promise to me somehow that in the midst of this relationship we have with God, there is a promise of rest. So, I don't always feel rested. Sometimes I feel weary and like I'm carrying heavy burdens. And perhaps you do as well. And I don't think it's because I haven't taken up the yoke. At least I hope that's not it. In fact, I'm wearing one just as a symbol of that. The yoke in Jesus' day would have been this wooden thing that would have rested over the shoulders of the animals that were being yoked together. And it would have served basically two purposes. It would have allowed them to be kept close to one another and going in the same direction, and it would have allowed the weight of whatever burden they were carrying, the plow or whatever it was, to be distributed between the animals so that they could share that burden as they were yoked together and doing whatever work it was they were called to do. Now, in my barn in South Dakota where I grew up, we had a whole bunch of equipment for yoking animals, oddly enough. My grandfather farmed at a time when they would yoke a team of animals together, and they would use a team of animals to plow back even in the beginning of the 20th century. In fact, he drove his bride home from the church with a horse and buggy. Wasn't that long ago. But in our barn, we didn't have the wooden yokes like they had back in Jesus' day. We had collars, and we had yokes that would connect the collars to one another, and harnesses and other equipment that was a little more animal friendly. It was leather, a little softer. It also was harder for the animals to shirk off and head off in their own direction. So yokes have changed a bit, and I somewhat jokingly, lift up these garments that I wear, but the garments that I wear are a symbol of this text, right? There is a collar that I wear. There is a stole that is like a yoke that reflects this being yoked with God. That's the intent of why we dress the way we do, at least part of it. And that's how I imagine this garb to be. It's not like a crown that I wear to mark authority or something. It's much more a symbol of being yoked for service. So the question is, why don't you wear one? Because in our baptisms, we are all yoked with Christ. And we are all called in our baptisms to be servants, to be yoked in relationship with God, to keep close to Jesus, to walk in the same direction that Jesus is yoked and going into, and to share the burdens, as God promises to share the burdens that we bear, we also share the burdens with one another. So we are yoked with Christ in our baptism. So I'll be happy to sell you all stoles. You don't need the stole to be yoked with Christ. For me, it's a reminder. So, being yoked with Christ keeps us close and heading in the same direction. and sharing the burdens along the way. That's part of the promise that I hear in this text. So what do you think about when you think about being yoked with Christ? It was given to me in my ordination. That's part of the tradition that the congregation that is ordaining, or in this case, the First Call congregation, gives the gift of the yoke of the stole as part of that welcome. You gave Blair the gift of a stole celebrating her 10th anniversary, I think it was, here with the loons and the beautiful symbolism of Minnesota on the stole. It's not unusual for congregations to yoke their pastors as they send them off to work. But that's not really what it means. It's not just for clergy. You are yoked with Christ in your baptism. Ordination is just a reminder of that yoking along the way for those of us who are clergy. You are yoked to Christ and reminded of that in many ways. For example, the congregation I served before had a different tradition around Eucharist. Children were allowed to receive the Eucharist, but in the fourth grade, they received a training about what the Eucharist is, and for many of them, it was their first communion. Whether they received communion before that or not was up to their parents. So, my daughter has on her wall in her bedroom her first communion stole. And it's a little white stole, and on the stole it has what she identified as a favorite Bible verse in the fourth grade. Has the name of her godparents, it has the date of her baptism, the date of her first communion, and then in this training day that we were with her parents, the children got to also stamp their stoles with symbols like a cross, or one of these ones she used was praying hands, that she stamped her stole. So all of these children coming forward for the first communion that day after their training had little white stoles that they wore, and they came up with their families and received the Eucharist, some of them for the first time. I talk about that because we gave them a stole, not because they're being ordained into priesthood, although in baptism you are ordained into priesthood, theologically speaking, but as a reminder that she is yoked with Christ, and that coming to Eucharist, every time you come and receive this bread, is a reminder for us that we are yoked with Christ, that we are close to God. In fact, we hold Christ in our hands, that we are walking in the same direction, pulling together, and that sharing the burdens that we bear as we receive that Eucharist. Similar kind of thing happens in confirmation for those who have the tradition of confirmation. When people have the opportunity to affirm that they are yoked with God as they affirm their faith. So, when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," I say, you already have. And we're reminded of that every time we come here, every time we hold the Eucharist in our hands, every time we pray, every time we leave here convinced that we are called to go and serve the Lord in our lives wherever we are. We are yoked with Christ. So then the question becomes, why am I weary? And why do I carry burdens? Jesus was talking to the crowd when he says these words. Sometimes in Scripture, he's just talking to his disciples. But in this case, he's talking to the crowd that had gathered. And in that crowd, there were many Jewish people. The Jewish faith was a very burdensome faith. There were more than 500 laws that you were expected to know and obey. There were sacrifices to be made. And it's this crowd of people to whom Jesus is speaking who are made weary by the yoke of the law that they are asked to bear, who are made weary by the enforcement of those laws by the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests. It is to these people that Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because my yoke is easy and the burden is light. So in this context, Jesus is actually inviting these people who are practicing this burdensome law to come to him, the one whose law is love God and love your neighbor and follow me. Walk in my way. Compared to all the rituals and all the things that the Jewish people were expected to do in their day, this was a much lighter yoke to bear. So this is the yoke that we have taken up, this yoke of Christ, which is to love God and love our neighbor and to walk in the way of Jesus. And that is a much lighter yoke than the yoke that Jesus was talking to about the Jewish tradition and their laws, which are now 613, by the way, if you're practicing Jewish today. So we're followers of Jesus, we've taken up his yoke, and we're learning from him. So why are we weary? And why do we carry heavy burdens? It's because Jesus' yoke is not the only yoke that we bear. Some of the yokes we bear are life-giving. Some of the yokes we bear are burdensome. Some draw us closer to Jesus, and some pull us away. For example, marriage. One of the terms that's used for marriage is the yoke of matrimony. It's one of the old terms for marriage. And in marriage, you are yoked with your spouse. This yoking in marriage keeps you close and draws you to go in the same direction with one another and to share the burdens of life with one another. That's what this yoke of marriage promises. But marriage is not always that way, right? Sometimes relationships get broken. Sometimes you end up pulling in different directions. Sometimes the marriage becomes a burden rather than being a place to share the burden. It's part of the reality talked about by Paul when he's talking about sin and what happens in that reality. So marriage is just one of the yokes that we bear, and you know, I'm pleased to say in my relationship, it is this yoke of joy and sharing and walking in the same direction and being close to one another. It's not a burden. It helps us to share the burdens. But sometimes relationships are broken. Sometimes our jobs can be a yoke that is hard to bear. Sometimes our house that is too big and is filled with too many possessions is a yoke that is hard to bear and burdensome. Or sometimes it's the lack of adequate housing that is the yoke that is hard to bear. Sometimes it's an addiction. Sometimes it's facing discrimination and systemic oppression that is a yoke that is hard to bear. Sometimes it's health issues that is a yoke that is hard to bear. Now again, some of these yokes can be a blessing. Work can be a blessing. Work can be a joy. Having a home can be a blessing and a joy. But it can also be a burden. And sometimes these burdens draw us away from Jesus, whose yoke we also bear. So how do we get it right? How do we cast off those yokes that are burdens and walk with God? You know, it's not the only thing that Jesus said. If this was his only promise to us, I would think he'd broken it. But the promises that Jesus has made or what he has told us is that there will also be a take up your cross and follow me. And there will be persecutions that we'll need to bear. And just a few weeks ago, he talked about the fact that he had come to bring division between families, fathers and mothers, children, that division would be a part of what it would happen if we follow Jesus. So it's not just a promise that walking with Jesus and taking up that yoke is going to be always light and easy. But there is, of course, this is the gospel, there should be good news. I still find comfort and hope in this text. Because no matter what is making me weary, and no matter what burdens me, I bear those burdens lighter when yoked with Christ. Because when I'm yoked with Christ, I'm also yoked with you, the body of Christ. And we are yoked with one another, and we bear one another's burdens. There's so many examples of this, but if you want one stellar example, just look at Jeff Kidder's Caring Bridge site, as he talks about what it is meant for him to be yoked with us, even though he's not using that language specifically, but what it means to him to be a part of the body of Christ as he's dealt with his cancer and other things that he's had to deal with. Because he has been yoked with Christ and yoked with us, the burdens have been lighter, and he's been less weary than if he had not been yoked with Christ and the body of Christ. So how do we get it right, this being yoked with Jesus? The early Christians wrestled with this question as well. There is a document called the Didache. It almost made it in the Bible. It was written in the first century. Didache means teachings, and it's supposed to be the teachings of the 12 apostles. It's this just a list of sort of proverbs almost, but it's a list of teachings. One of the teachings in there, Didache chapter 6, number 2, says, "For if you are able to bear the entire yoke of the Lord, you will be perfect. But if you are not able to do this, do what you're able." I'm not perfect. I know you well enough after almost 2 years here that I can probably say with a little bit of confidence, you're not perfect either. And Paul, in his text today from Romans, says he's not perfect. What does he say? He says, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." So if Paul, who is someone who I imagine to be fairly yoked with Christ, apostle to the Gentiles, founder of numerous churches, author of many of the books in the New Testament, a martyr, if he says, "I didn't get it right, I don't get it right, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do," there's space for us in this walk with Christ. And some wisdom in the Didache, that if you're not able to be perfect, do what you are able. We take up Christ's yoke, bear it as best we can. We learn from Jesus, who is gentle and humble in heart. We learn what he has taught us about loving God and loving our neighbors. We learn that being yoked with Christ is being yoked with Christ's church, with the people who are sitting next to you in this place. And we remember the words of Paul that tell us that we are to bear one another's burdens, to care for one another, to love one another as Christ has loved us. We remind one another in the Eucharist and every time we gather and in the words we speak and every way that we know that we are yoked with Christ and that his yoke is easy and the burdens are light. Amen.